By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. Now, Allahu Akbar. My viewers of Madani channel, remember, now, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first Khalifa of Islam, the greatest of all the companions, the greatest of all of the companions, the greatest of all mankind after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is. Yes, then Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the greatest of all mankind. So we can say the greatest of all creation after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the greatest of mankind, subhanallah. Afdal al-Bashar, what's mentioned is mankind. Afdal al-Bashar, Ba'd al-Anbiya. And this my dear viewers of Inshallah, is with no exception. He's greatest of all men, he's the greatest of all mankind after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, this was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. My dear viewers of Madinah channel, on this day, now previously we've heard about Hazrat Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, another great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, also a relative of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Also from the Banu Taym, same tribe as Taym ibn Murra, same tribe as Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And also from the Ashara Mubashara, those 10 individuals who had been promised paradise. Yes, and you see, it's a little different. Now some people will be thinking, all the companions have been promised paradise. Yes, all the companions within the glorious Quran. But these Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam specifically, explicitly mentioned and stated, he stood on the minbar and he spoke about these individuals. Now, if it was today, we shall be speaking about another individual. As for who it is, you're not going to be finding out right away. You'll have to stick with us. You'll have to join us. Each and every single day, we begin by listening to the recitation of the glorious Quran, the recitation of the beautiful, the holy Quran. Let's begin as we do each and every single day, by listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. Remember that whilst the Al-Quran Al-Kareem is being recited, then it is your job, it is my job to give our attention to the recitation of the glorious Quran, as well as this, make good intentions, because the more good intentions you make, the more reward you shall gain, inshallah azza wa jal. Let's listen to the tilawat of the glorious Quran as well as the translation. Yes, this is in the Urdu language, but inshallah azza wa jal, do dua that we can have this made available in English too, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
الحمد للہ الذی أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا
سب خوبیاں اللہ کو جس نے اپنے بندے پر کتاب اتاری اور اس میں اصلاً کجی نہ رکھی یعنی ذرا بھی ٹیڑا پن نہ رکھا
قیما لینذر بأسا شدیدا من لدنه ویبشر المؤمنین الذین یعملون الصالحات ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا.
عدل والی کتاب کہ اللہ کے سخت عذاب سے ڈرائے اور ایمان والوں کو جو نیک کام کریں بشارت دے کہ ان کے لیے اچھا ثواب ہے.
ماکثین فیہ ابدا,
جس میں ہمیشہ رہیں گے.
وینذر الذین قالوا اتخذ اللہ ولدا,
اور ان کو ڈرائے جو کہتے ہیں کہ اللہ نے اپنا کوئی بچہ بنایا.
ما لہم بہ من علم ولا لآبائہم,
اس بارے میں نہ وہ کچھ علم رکھتے ہیں نہ ان کے باپ دادا.
کبرت کلمتا تخرج من افواہہم ان یقولون الا کذبا,
کتنا بڑا بول ہے کہ ان کے منہ سے نکلتا ہے نرا یعنی بالکل جھوٹ کہہ رہے ہیں.
فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم ان لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث اسفا,
تو کہیں تم اپنی جان پر کھیل جاؤ گے ان کے پیچھے اگر وہ اس بات پر ایمان نہ لائیں غم سے.
اِنَّا جَعَلْنَا مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِنَبْلُوَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا,
بے شک ہم نے زمین کا سنگار کیا جو کچھ اس پر ہے کہ انہیں آزمائیں ان میں کس کے کام بہتر ہیں.
وَإِنَّا لَجَاعِلُونَ مَا عَلَيْهَا صَعِيدًا جُرُزًا,
اور بے شک جو کچھ اس پر ہے ایک دن ہم اسے پٹ پر یعنی چٹیل بیکار میدان کر چھوڑیں گے.
ام حسبت ان اصحاب الكهف والرقیم كانوا من آیاتنا عجبا,
کیا تمہیں معلوم ہوا کہ پہاڑ کی کھو اور جنگل کے کنارے والے ہماری ایک عجیب نشانی تھے.
اذ اول فتیۃ الی الکہف فقالوا ربنا آتنا من لدنک رحمۃ وہیئ لنا من امرنا رشدا,
جب ان جوانوں نے غار میں پناہ لی پھر بولے اے ہمارے رب ہمیں اپنے پاس سے رحمت دے اور ہمارے کام میں ہمارے لیے راہ یابی یعنی راہ پانے کے سامان کر.
فضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا,
تو ہم نے اس غار میں ان کے کانوں پر گنتی کے کئی برس تھپکا.
ثم بعثناهم لنعلم أي الحزبين أحصى لما لبثوا أمدا,
پھر ہم نے انہیں جگایا کہ دیکھیں دو گروہوں میں کون ان کے ٹھہرنے کی مدت زیادہ ٹھیک بتاتا ہے.
نحن نقص عليك نبأهم بالحق إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى,
ہم ان کا ٹھیک ٹھیک حال تمہیں سنائیں. وہ کچھ جوان تھے کہ اپنے رب پر ایمان لائے اور ہم نے ان کو ہدایت بڑھائی.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. دی ویوز آف مدنی چینل, ماشاء اللہ عز و جل, یو ویل ہیو ریئلائزڈ دیٹ ماشاء اللہ وی ہیڈ کمپلیٹڈ سورہ بنی اسرائیل. And now today, mashallah, we are beginning with the chapters, or the chapter, the 18th chapter of the Glorious Quran, in the 15th part of the Glorious Quran. And this is none other than Surah Al-Kahf, now, which is known and translated as the chapter of the cave. Now, this chapter is also something we should generally, a surah we should read on Fridays, the people of the cave. It's a beautiful story. Now, I'm not sure how many of you remember in the previous chapter when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approached, yas'alunaka 'anir ruh, when Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam was approached by some people and they asked him about what, about the soul, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is ordered that, you know, to tell them that this, the knowledge of the soul is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the viewers of Madani channel, mashallah, remember, yes, listening to the Quran is one thing, but reading, no doubt, is another. And Just listening to the Quran is not a substitute. We need to be able to read the Quran al-Kareem. We need to try to read it regularly. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me the ability to read the Quran much more too, inshallah wa azza wa jal. Some people will be aiming to complete the Quran al-Kareem within a year. Some people within a month. And a month is a good amount. If you could try to read, or some people even try to read one para in about a week. So that'll take how many, about 30 or so weeks to read it. So depending on what your ability is, as long as your reading is what's important. So one is reading it. So this is something we generally should have been doing as children, but not all of us had the chance to do it. I didn't have the chance to. I had never completed the Quran. Sadly, the sad reality, I had never completed the Quran as a child, as a youngster. Only later on when I joined Dawat Islami was I able to, alhamdulillah, be able to read the Quran much more. And even read it properly, that is. Because before that, I couldn't even read it properly. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, this is something which, you know, if we did not have the chance, opportunity to do it before, now we do. Now there's not this worry of, okay, how can I learn? You could learn online, you could go to classes, there's all sorts of options. And I say, one of the signs of Ramadan is what? Reading the Quran is, and the Quran was revealed within the month of Ramadan. But my dear viewers, one of the signs of Ramadan is that Muslims, what is it that they do? Yes, they fast. As well as this, what do? Do they fast and watch movies all day? No, they will fast. And during that time when they would possibly normally watch movies or whatever, although they shouldn't be that doing that too, but mashallah, a lot of people do change during the month of Ramadan. And you know, in that time, in that space, what is it they would be doing? They would be reciting the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And honestly, that's beautiful. And you would enjoy it too. Just begin, make a start from now, inshallah. Make a start from now, learn how to read the Quran, and inshallah make it a regular habit of yours to recite the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Now yes, we have listened to the glorious Quran, and after having listened to the Quran, we move on to the Naat Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Let's all listen to the Naat Sharif. For those that do know the words, try to join in too. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim. Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim.
Descend peace and blessings countlessly, eternally upon your beloved, the best of creation.
Muhammadun Sayyidul Kawnaini wa Thaqalaini. Muhammadun Sayyidul Kawnaini wa Thaqalaini wal Fari. قيني من عرب ومن عجمي
آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا آپ ہیں عرب و عجم جن و بشر کے پیشوا آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
محمد is the leader of both worlds, both creations.
Muhammad is the leader of both worlds, both creations.
And even both groups, Arabs and Ajams.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. Bika khayril khalqi kullihim. Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim.
Huwa al-habib alladhi turja shafa'atuhu. الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحمي
آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روز جزا آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روز جزا ناگہانی آفتوں میں آپ کا ہے آسرا آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped.
He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped.
For in every sudden calamity,
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العمامي
اکرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ اکرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ حادثات عام میں ہیں آپ میری تکیہ گاہ آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
O most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge. O most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge.
In other than you, when universal calamities descend. Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم
بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہیں آپ کا جود و کرم بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہیں آپ کا جود و کرم آپ کے کل علم کا ایک جزو ہے لوح و قلم
آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace
And part of your knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved tablet and the pen Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا ربي مصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم
اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ، اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ، پورے فرما سب مقاصد بخش دے میرے گناہ، آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام۔
Oh my Rabb, by the chosen one fulfill our wishes. Oh my Rabb, by the chosen one fulfill our wishes.
And forgive us for what has passed.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib بيك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم ما شاء الله عز وجل. My dear viewers, إن شاء الله was just absolutely beautifully ما شاء الله عز وجل read and recited the Qasida al-Burda. My dear viewers, a beautiful Qasida, beautiful poetry. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, it just sounds absolutely phenomenal. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. My dear viewers, the night between Thursday and Friday is a special night. It is a night of immense reward and blessings. InshaAllah Azza wa Jal, recite salawat upon Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Generally, you should recite it in abundance as much as you can. May Allah Ta'ala grant us, may Allah Ta'ala grant me the ability to do so, inshallah, and especially on the night between Thursday and Friday. This is also a night for us to have a khatam, as we would call it, which is reciting salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is reciting the Al-Quran Al-Kareem. Possibly if you wish the Naal Sharif, reciting the Al-Quran Al-Kareem before and after reciting the Durood, sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the reward for this, to present it first towards Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the rest of the prophets and messengers, the companions, etc., etc. And then my dear viewers, especially to those individuals who have passed away from our families, that is, and all those individuals who have recently passed away. So passed away ever from our families, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, pardon their every sin, inshallah, wa azza wa jalla, and grant them Jannah without being held accountable for the sake of Hazrat Zubayr ibn Awwam radiallahu anhu. Some people will be thinking, who is Zubayr ibn Awwam radiallahu ta'ala an? A great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. And this is who we shall be hearing, speaking about today, inshallah, wa azzulal Hazrat Zubayr ibn Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, I'm going to mention this again. There are the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The greatest of them all is Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, then Hazrat Umar Farooq radhiyallahu anhu, and these companions, then Hazrat Uthman radhiyallahu anhu, the third Khalifa of Islam, and then Hazrat Ali, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, shall we say, Hazrat Ali al-Murtada karamallahu wajhahu al-kareem. Now, many of you have been on the channel, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the greatest, but these four individuals are part of another group of individuals too. Yes, these four are the Khulafa, but they are part of a famous 10, a special 10 individuals. Because once Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he was on the minbar, and what did he say? He said to the people, he said this explicitly, Abu Bakr is Jannati, Umar is Jannati, Uthman is Jannati, Ali is Jannati. These four individuals who we've had many a time. But then it continues, Talha is Jannati, Zubair is Jannati, Abdurrahman ibn Auf is Jannati, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas is Jannati, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah is Jannati. And that's it, he stops there. He becomes silent. Who was this? This was Hazrat Sa'id radiallahu ta'ala. He mentioned these nine people. First he says that the Rasulullah ﷺ had promised 10. But then he doesn't mention 10. He says Abu Bakr. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiya anhu is Jannati. Hazrat Umar radhiya anhu is Jannati. And then Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Ali, Hazrat Talha, Hazrat Zubair, Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Hazrat Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah, Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas. And then the companions saying, this is 9. This is not 10. So they say, okay, so you've mentioned 9 people. Who's the 10th person? And subhanAllah, it is the reason they ask, they say that we swear by the oath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell us who the 10th person is. And he says, because you have said this, I will tell you who the 10th person is. And he states that the 10th person is Abu al-A'war. And who is this? This is another name for Hazrat Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is also the narrator. He didn't want to mention himself. But because they asked for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he answered. But there's something which is really, really beautiful here. That amongst these 10 people, every single one of them is very, very important. Very, very great, each and every single one of these. But my dear viewers of Madani channel, from amongst these, yes, we've heard many times about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who's the greatest of all of these. Then the second Khalifa of Islam, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, etc., etc. Amongst these names is an individual, one person, by the name of Hazrat Zubair ibn Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Whenever somebody passes away, and many times, what is one of our du'as? That Ya Allah grant him the neighborhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in paradise. This is what we say, don't we? Ya Allah grant him the neighborhood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does that mean? Meaning give him a place close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. This is what we are always saying. Ya Allah grant him, you know, the closeness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that which came from the blessed lips of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. That which Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam himself tells us. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam state? Talha and Zubair are his neighbors in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Imagine this. We speak and we wish for, and of course we are Muslims. Who wouldn't wish for this? To be next to be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself states, Hazrat Talha, Hazrat Zubair, they shall be his neighbors in Jannah, inshallah azza wa jalla. This is that individual, yes, who is the neighbor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannah. This is that person about whom Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam states to him that on the day of judgment, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, the archangel, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam shall be with you, and he will not allow for even a spark, the slightest amount, the fire of hell to even touch you, come near you. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam shall be his guardian on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar, imagine who this person is. My dear viewers of Madani channel, this is that individual who, now there's a relation, isn't there, to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And remember, the companions, they would love to build a blood relation too, in a way. They would have this desire to have this relation with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his own daughter, Hazrat Hafsa radhiyallahu anha, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, his own daughter Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha, they themselves wish to, you know, if possible, to marry within the family of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, to have this nisba, to this link, this relation with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to give somebody in their family to marry somebody in the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this is great. Imagine being related to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have the Sadat, as we would call them, the Sayyids, those individuals who are from the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are on the day of judgment, no matter what our lineage may be. Some people may be thinking, I'm a nobleman. Some people are noble, I'm from this. Many people are, I'm Chaudhry, I'm this, I'm that. None of that matters. None of that matters. Allahu Akbar. Whatever caste you may be, whatever tribe you may be, you know, you may be the king or the queen or the prince or princess in this world. But the true princes are those whose lineage goes back, or those who are linked or from the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Because on the day of judgment, it doesn't matter what you are or what you were in the world, because all these relations shall be cut off. But what shall remain? The relation, the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, our blood will not aid us. Remember this, that our blood cannot help us on the Day of Judgment. We cannot say, oh, I'm related to such and such person, so for this reason I should be forgiven, or for this reason I should be granted Jannah. No, no, my dear viewers. Only the Sa'adat, only, and this is the speciality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those who are linked, those who have this link to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam radhiyallahu an, what was his relation to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? In fact, there were many. One, Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam radhiyallahu ta'ala an, he was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His mother was Hazrat Safiyya radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, the paternal aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Safiyya bint Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu anhuma. Hazrat Safiyya was a daughter of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu an, and Hazrat Abdul Muttalib radhiyallahu an was the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So firstly, he's the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam, the first cousin. Secondly, my dear viewers of the Nishan, Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, his paternal aunt was Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. He's also related to the mother, Hazrat Amina radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam radhiyallahu anhu, he married Hazrat Asma bint Abi Bakr, the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first Khalifa, the greatest of all the companions radhiyallahu ta'ala an. He was also married to her, and her sister Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu ta'ala anha is who? She's Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers. She is the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. So in various ways, Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu is a relative, or is linked, is related to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. How beautiful is that? That's very, very, that's beautiful eyes. Subhanallah. Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam radhiyallahu anhu, he's related to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam in various ways, in so many ways, my dear viewers. And much more about Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam radhiyallahu anhu we shall be hearing very, very soon. First, inshallah, let's go to our daily reminder. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Respected viewers of Madani Shan, it is mentioned in one of the famous books of spirituality called Risala Ushariya that your share of the world is apportioned according to the level of trials you face, and your share of the hereafter is apportioned according to your level of taqwa. Allahu Akbar. What a beautiful piece of advice this contains. Respected brothers, this means climbing the ladder of success in this world is done by the person who works the hardest. The more hard work you do, the more trials you face in this dunya, right, the more success you can attain. But if you want the success of the hereafter, it will depend on how much taqwa do you possess within your personality. Allah Almighty says in the Holy Quran, 12th Juz, Surah Hud, verse number 49, إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Indeed, for the pious is a good ending. Another verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, specially kept ready for the pious. Hereafter is kept ready for the righteous, for the pious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ability and tawfiq and understanding to prepare for the hereafter, to attain taqwa, to attain piety, because salvation lies in piety. A great name in the history of Islam, Imam Muhammad bin Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. He explains the excellence of taqwa, piety. He writes, the people of taqwa are commanded by Allah and He blesses them with protection from their enemies. They receive unique help from Allah, and due to the blessings of their taqwa, He also grants them halal risk in this world. Subhanallah. The blessings of taqwa lead to the correct rectification of deeds, forgiveness of sins, and acceptance of all good deeds. The people of taqwa are saved from the terrors of the hereafter. They become the beloved servants of Allah, and they are of greater esteem in His sight. At the time of death, they are blessed with the honor of being able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And further he says, they are given good news of safety from punishment after dying. They are protected from hellfire and will remain in Jannah forever. Allahu Akbar. Respected viewers, if we want all such blessings of this world and the hereafter, all we need to do is, we need to adopt this beautiful attribute of taqwa. Taqwa is piety. Piety is that one person should follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refrain from anything which is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, MashaAllah Azza wa Jalla, that was the daily reminder. That was our respected Rizwan Bhai. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Now, Hazrat Zubair ibn Awwam, there was a beautiful incident which took place. There are many things, subhanAllah, but inshallah we shall mention a few. Now, there's this companion by the name of Hazrat Khubayb. Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu was captured. And sadly, he wasn't just captured, but they took him to, as you would say, to the gallows, meaning to go and, this is when they go and slaughter or to kill somebody. Mazallah, sadly. Now, this is what happened. They took him to the gallows and they prepared to take his life. And Hazrat Khubayb, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says to them, okay, you know, you have me. Don't worry, I'm not going to go anywhere. Just please allow me to pray to my Lord. And they allowed him to read Salah. Now, Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he began to read Salah. And when he read this Salah, imagine how it is knowing his Salah. Imagine how long it would have been. But it wasn't very, very long. It was not very, very long. And he even gives a reason. He loved the Salah so much and he wished for it to be long. If only he could make it long. But what does he say? He says that you people may think that I am scared of death, and this is the reason I am prolonging my prayer. But to show you that I do not fear death, I did not prolong, or he did not prolong his prayer. And this is very, very important. Because Madhivyus Ramadan Shalom, what made the companions so great, this is one of the many reasons, no doubt, that the companions were so great, and in many ways, but one very, very important role is that the companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were so great. And one of those things which played a huge part is what? Is that they did not fear death. And this is very, very important. Yes, we shall be coming back to Hazrat Zubair ibn Awwam radiallahu anhu. But this is very, very important. True fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Madhi Vizum and the Nishalis. Well, that's a topic for another day. But this fear of death, Madhi Vizum and the Nishalis, is a huge problem. It's a huge problem. Why is it that we fear death? The reason we fear death is because we've not prayed all our salah. Right now, I would be afraid to die. Why? Because I've not prayed all. I've missed so many of my prayers I need to make up for. I've performed so many sins I'm going to be punished for. Or I may very likely be punished for. You know, I've not done this, the things which I should have been doing. There's so many fasts that I had broken, or there are so many fasts that I had missed, and I've not as yet made up for them. There's this action that I hurt this other person. I've not sought forgiveness. I have stolen something which I have not returned. I have robbed somebody. I have harmed somebody. I've been backbiting about somebody because of all these sins. And all of these sins, these will be in... Yes, the angels are always there watching us. The angels are writing down everything we are doing. And so we are afraid. But when a person, when he has a pure heart, is not afraid of death. This is one of the reasons why we are afraid of death. But another reason, and one of the most important reasons, because we have so much love for the world. We wish to continue living in the world. We wish for the world. We wish for worldly things. But as some people who know that definitely that's it, we are about to pass away. Then what happens? You may have Ferraris or Lamborghinis. You may have all of these cars, these supercars, whatever cars they may be. They may have these, you know, they will be very, very wealthy. But what will happen is that such people, they lose all taste and all that love that they had for it. Let's just say somebody is inflicted with cancer. And they know that's it, and I have a week left or so. They would think, that's it, they're no longer interested in all that. Why is it that we have to wait for such a point? Is it the Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu? This was not a time when he prolonged it, but to show them that he does not have any fear of death. Hazrat Khubayb made his prayer shorter. Now Hazrat Khubayb, and why is it that we are stating this? Because Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was martyred. And when Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu was martyred, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, news reached them, they were informed about this. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he proposed something to the companions. What that was, we shall find out very, very soon, inshallah. Let's move to the daily hadith sharif. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Every one of us desires to be close to our Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal. One beautiful method that we must adopt in order to attain this proximity, closeness to Allah Azza wa Jal, is to offer our salah. Because we are told that this is that thing which defines a believer. This is what distinguishes a believer and a non-believer. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performed salah throughout his life. Whenever he faced any concern or worry, he would turn towards salah. And in the Quran we're told as well, Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah. Seek help through patience and prayer. But the prayer has so many other benefits as well. We are human beings and we sin frequently. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us and grant us tawfiq to repent often. In one hadith, we're told that when you offer salah, your sins are forgiven. This hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, and is found in both Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the companions, أَرَأَيْتُمْ لَوْ أَنَّ نَهْرًا بِبَابِ أَحَدِكُمْ يَخْتَسِلُ فِيهِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ خَمْسًا. If there was a stream or a river at the door of your house and you performed ghusl in that river, that water, 5 times a day, هَلْ يَبْقَى مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْءٌ. Would there be any dirt left on your body? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in replied, لَا يَبْقَى مِنْ دَرَنِهِ شَيْءٌ. No such filth, no such dirt will be left because he's constantly bathing in it 5 times a day. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ. That is the example of the 5 prayers. Meaning the 5 prayers are exactly like that. The 5 daily prayers are exactly like that. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ الْخَطَايَا. By means of the 5 daily prayers, a person's sins are wiped out. Those 5 daily prayers, Allah Ta'ala, by means of you offering them, will wipe out your sins. So this is the benefit of offering salah. Your sins are forgiven. And we are in need of offering our 5 daily salah to obtain such blessings. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who are steadfast and consistent in offering salah.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Subhanallah, that was the daily hadith. Now, many of you was the story, Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala an, who sadly, he was martyred. And in some ways, Allahu Akbar, he was amongst the greatest martyrs. He was a companion. Nobody can match the actions of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But my dear viewers of Madani channel, this companion, Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was martyred, that was. And when news reached the Muslims about the incident which had taken place, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And this is beautiful, this is. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he called out to the companions and says that who is it that will go and save his body, you can say, from the gallows, bring him back. Because those bodies, which in them times people would mistreat the bodies, but remember that in Islam, within our deen, within our religion, those bodies, when a person has passed away, we must be very, very careful with their body. When he has passed away, we should also respect that body, yes. And we should give them a good burial, something which is respectful. This is reverence and honor, my dear viewers, over the children, for who the person is, for that person with iman that was. And Hazrat Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they couldn't have been left, you know, amongst those people to mistreat the body, no. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sent some companions. Or he asked, who is it that will go? And amongst them, Hazrat Sayyidina Zubair ibn Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he states that myself and Hazrat Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala anhu, we are privileged to be able to present ourselves. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then sends them too. Now they go there, and it's stated that about 40 people just surrounding the body, that is, others as well. And Hazrat Zubair ibn Awwam radiallahu an and Hazrat Miqdad radiallahu an, they are ready to give their lives on the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to go and take that body. Now there are many beautiful lessons to be learned from this, and one is that when a person has passed away, how their body should be. Remember, we shouldn't even be combing their hair or their beard, because we have to be very, very careful with their body. That's one thing. So, you know, these sort of things we need to be very, very careful about. Another is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he could have just left him. No, my dear viewers, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he loved all of his companions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was perfect in every way and manner. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the true prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those who had been martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had so much love for them that others, their lives were put at risk just to save that one individual. Just to save that one individual's body, that person who had passed away, that person who had been martyred. They could have thought, subhanAllah, he's been martyred, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends out two other companions to go and get his body. And subhanAllah, when they go, they take his body. And then they said that the people, they surround them. There was other people that came too. There were 70 or so people that came and surrounded them. And Hazrat Zubair ibn Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he takes his body and he places it on the ground. And it's stated that the ground, it opens up. The ground opens up and swallows this body. And this is why he's known as Bali'ul Ard. That individual whose body was swallowed by the earth itself. And then Hazrat Zubair says to those people who were ready to attack him, those people of Makkah al-Mukarramah at that time, he says, O people of Quraysh, how can you dare to fight with us? And he takes off his blessed imamishri from his head. And he says, look who it is. It is me, it is Zubair ibn Awwam. My mother is Safiya, the daughter of Hazrat Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu ta'ala an, the aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he states that my companion is Hazrat Sayyidina Miqdad Aswad radiallahu ta'ala an. We are two lions who grasp their prey in a moment. Now it is up to you whether you leave now or if you have the courage to stop us, then do so. And subhanAllah stated that the disbelievers, they turned around and they left. And then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was given the good news from Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was told by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam that they give them the good news, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the angels are proud today regarding your companions. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam gave him this, mentioned this verse of the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ. And this is beautiful because this was sent about Hazrat Zubair ibn Awwam radiallahu anhu, a ayah of the glorious Quran about Hazrat Zubair ibn Awwam radiallahu anhu. And what is this ayah? وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. The translation is, and among the people is he who sells his life to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is most compassionate towards the bondsman. And if it was, this is beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, within the glorious Quran, this is, and among the people is he who sells his life to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is who the companions, this is who they were. They were those people who were ready to give their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Some people could have been thinking, look, he's already passed away. Why are we going to go, you know, put our lives at risk now? But Allahu Akbar, this shows the greatness of the companions. This is even a test for the people. This is even a test to see and a means of reward for them. Sometimes, my dear viewers, inshallah, another lesson we could possibly take is sometimes, remember, we are tested too. Now, Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who put himself forward, who placed himself forward, he has been given such a blessing which, you know, cannot be matched, that a ayat of the glorious Quran has been revealed praising Hazrat Zubair ibn Awwam radiallahu ta'ala an. And if we are sometimes given a test, and if we are to do the extra, then inshallah azzajal, imagine the amount of reward, the reward we can gain, inshallah azzajal. You know, give our wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand that our wealth is less. You know, people would happily give, well, not really give wealth, but when it comes to an option of life or wealth, then, you know, people give preference to life, no doubt about it. So nobody's asking for your life, anything, your wealth. Give, not all of it. No, give some. Give as much as you're able to. Give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers, inshallah, we shall be hearing about Hazrat Zubair ibn Awwam radiallahu anhu. Remember that sadaqah does not decrease a person's wealth. Speaking about Hazrat Zubair ibn Awwam radiallahu anhu, there's a story mentioned about him that he gave, I think it was 600,000 in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 600,000 coins. Some people said, "What, you've given everything?" He says, "Yes. I've not lost it. My wealth has not decreased. No. This is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I've given it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that rewards." Remember, it does not decrease our wealth. Inshallah, when we give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall give us more. Hazrat Zubair ibn Awwam radiallahu anhu, and he was such a trustworthy person. Is mentioned about many of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they would trust him, and they would trust him so much. People like Hazrat Usman ibn Affan radhiallahu anhu, people like Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf radhiallahu anhu. You know, these people possessed a lot of money, and all of these people, whatever wealth they would leave behind, they would say that Hazrat Zubair is to be in charge of it, because he is a trustworthy person. And it's very, very important for us to be trustworthy. My dear viewers, we have a kalam, inshallah, let's listen to that, and then we shall hear a little more about Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Mehman Madine Waleda, Mehman Madine Waleda, Mehman Madine Waleda, Mehman Madine किस्मत वाला बढ़दा है मेहमान मदीने वाले दा होंदा है करम खुशबख्ता ते सुल्तान मदीने वाले दा किस्मत वाला बढ़दा है मेहमान मदीने वाले दा
دائے کرم خوشبختہ تے سلطان مدینے والے دا
بلبل نو سار چمن دی اے وچھڑے نو تاں ملن دی اے بلبل نو سار چمن دی اے وچھڑے نو تاں ملن دی اے دل والے دل وچ رکھ دے نے دل والے دل وچ رکھ دے نے ارمان مدینے والے دا
قسمت والا بندہ اے مہمان مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوشبختا تے سلطان مدینے والے دا
سرکار دے منن والے دی تاریخ گواہی دیندی اے سرکار دے منن والے دی تاریخ گواہی دیندی اے کردا اے حکومت دنیا تے کردا اے حکومت دنیا دربان مدینے والے دا
کوئی قسمت والا بندا اے مہمان مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوشبختا دے سلطان مدینے والے دا
سہنے دے مسافر چلے نے چلے سہنے دے ولے نے سہنے دے مسافر چلے نے چلے سہنے دے ولے نے سہنے دیا یاداں پلے نے سہنے دیا یاداں پلے نے سامان مدینے والے دا
کوئی قسمت والا بندا اے مہمان مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوشبختا تے سلطان مدینے والے دا
سینے وچ یاد مدینے دی بلا تے نام محمد دا سینے وچ یاد مدینے دی بلا تے نام محمد دا میرے تے ظہوری ڈاڈا اے میرے تے ظہوری ڈاڈا اے احسان مدینے والے دا
کوئی قسمت والا بندا اے مہمان مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوشبختا تے سلطان مدینے والے دا قسمت والا بندا اے مہمان مدینے والے دا ہوندا اے کرم خوشبختا تے سلطان مدینے والے دا
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم ما شاء الله عز وجل the companions of Rasulullah صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم the greatest of all people after the prophets of Allah سبحانه وتعالى حضرت Zubayr ibn Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Inshallah, another time inshallah we shall speak about the entire seerah. But today we're just choosing a few random things from the seerah. And one thing which is really, really beautiful, again speaking about hardship, speaking about difficulty. Well, there are many to be honest. I'm just thinking, which one? One, in fact, let's go a little back to when they accepted Islam. Hazrat Zubayr ibn Awwam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he accepted Islam, now the way many others upon having accepted Islam, they were subjected to, you know, difficulty, hardship, torture even. Hazrat Zubayr ibn Awwam radiallahu anhu was amongst those. It said that his very own uncle, imagine this, the very own uncle of Hazrat Zubayr radiallahu anhu, had him wrapped up in a carpet, had somehow some sort of gas was released within that to make him suffocate. And then he was completely asked to give up his religion. And he repetitively said, لا أكفر أبدا. I shall never perform kufr. I shall never reject. I have accepted this deen and this is my belief. That Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no God other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, and he was tortured for this. And he wasn't tortured by no outsider. He was tortured by his very own uncle. By his very own family. He was asked to give up his religion. But yet he remained steadfast on Allahu Akbar. These were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. This is true steadfastness. There are many reasons why we can never compare to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us. Okay. But there are many other reasons too. We can never compare with the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are many things in which we can never compare. And one of those, my dear viewers, one of these many things, we can't compare in anything, to be honest, but one of these things about the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is their faith was on another level too. Their faith, my dear viewers, is something which, you know, nothing. Our faith is nothing in comparison to theirs. Now the companions, remember, we are believing after we've heard all of these things. We've seen the complete Al-Quran, Al-Kareem. We've read it. We know it's a miracle. We know it possesses such things within it which, you know, it cannot be rejected. It has never been refuted. Logically, it is just complete. It's correct in any and every form and manner. You know, this is one thing which strengthens our belief. One is the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the living miracle. Another is, you know, what we hear from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the perfect character and manners of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how it has all been preserved. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nothing can match it or beat it. But the companions, they did not have this. One other thing which does affect us is our environment too. And this is very, very important, in fact. Our environment, because those living in, let's just say, non-Muslim countries, and those surrounded by many non-Muslims, or those who are Muslims but non-practicing at all, people who are, or they still call themselves Muslim, but they are not practicing at all. Now, such people, what is the state of them? Many times they don't even know whether they're speaking wrong words, they're drinking alcohol, they're doing all sorts of things. This is their state. Now remember, these companions, they were also living in a society which was overwhelming individuals, number of people were non-Muslims. But it's not just that. The non-Muslims were attacking them, they were terrorizing them, they were harming them. The non-Muslims were torturing them only for their beliefs, simply for their beliefs. Yes, just due to their beliefs, they were being tortured. Now, what is the state of us? We require a, you know, people surround Muslims, even them are very lazy, and how strong is our faith? When we are surrounded by many Muslims, when we have a masjid, we are able to pray. We have everything. We have the freedom to, you know, pray, no problem. You know, within majority of the countries, even non-Muslim countries, in the UK, it is very, very easy for us to practice our religion. There's, you know, no restrictions whatsoever. We're allowed to pray our five daily prayers. We're allowed to, you know, we're even allowed to preach. We're allowed to do all sorts of things. You know, we're allowed to fast, no problem. Now, my dear viewers of Mandarin Channel, subhanAllah. But these companions in their time, all they did was, and the prayers and everything came, okay, later. Especially the different rak'ahs. Remember, this occurred towards the end of the Meccan period, before the Madani period. This is when the Mi'raj took place, the year of Sora, as it's known as, after the Khadijah al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha had passed away. It was known as the year of Sora. And this is when the five daily prayers came about. So at that time, they didn't need to do all these things, but yet, all it was their belief. And as people, what is it that we do? Are we proud to be Muslims or to speak about or even to protect our deen? We're not. Many times we are not, my dear viewers. Sadly, we cannot protect our religion, our deen. You know, we're not proud to say, yes, I am a Muslim. Some people, they hide, sadly. Some people hide their religion, hide their deen. The way they speak, you cannot tell this person is a Muslim. This is a serious question we need to ask ourselves. That you are Muslim. Okay, brilliant. But how is it that we know you're a Muslim? If it's a lady, do you have your head covering, etc.? So we know you are a Muslim, you're the, you know, appropriate clothing. Even for a man, that is appropriate clothing. Do you have a beard, which is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is wajib, it is necessary to have a beard. Do you wear the imam al-sharif? Do you ever wear, you know, traditional Islamic clothing? When you speak, do you give salam? Do you say assalamu alaikum? Do you mention, you know, words such as mashallah or alhamdulillah? Do you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly? Or do you never use any of these words? You're a professional, but you'll never use any of these words. To fellow Muslims, you'll say good morning or good afternoon. And, you know, you cannot tell. Unless you were to tell them you're a Muslim, there's no way of telling that this person is a Muslim or not.
especially when living in a non-Muslim land. Whereas these people, they would openly and tell people, yes, alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. They would be proud. And even though they had suffered and they were being tortured, but yet, and tortured to such a level, not like, you know, just people giving them day. It looks like nowadays, oh, if I do this, then this is how they're going to look at me. This is how they're going to think of me. It's not them thinking like that, no. Allahu Akbar. It's them literally torturing them. Them literally harming them. But yet these companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are the companions, Allahu Akbar. You know, their faith is on another level, my dear, we cannot match the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The greatest of all people after the from the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest of all people. They are perfect. They are all jannati. Remember this. And you know, who are we to speak about the companions? Allahu Akbar. And if it was the dust below the feet of the companions is greater than us, greater than our parents, greater than our entire family. These are the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one more very, very important incident I would like to mention from the life of Hazrat Zubayr ibn Awam radhiallahu an is his migration. Now this is also very, very important, his migration. Hazrat Zubayr, in fact, the migration of Hazrat Zubayr radhiallahu an is a little different to that of others. Yes, they migrated. Well, but I'm not referring to that migration, the migration of which we generally consider the hijrah from Al-Makkah Al-Mukarramah to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah. But no, there was a hijrah before this too. And the Muslims around about 4-5 AH, many of them, not all of them, but many of them, they migrated from Makkah Al-Mukarramah to Abyssinia, Ethiopia. Abyssinia as it was known. And they travel there, which was Africa, my dear viewers. Nowadays, as we call Ethiopia. Now, they travel there, very far place. But firstly, what we must understand is, there's a few things. One is migration itself, the importance of migration. But just before that, the Hazrat Zubayr ibn Awam radhiallahu anhu, from all of the migrants, from all of those companions who migrated, Hazrat Zubayr ibn Awam radhiallahu anhu was the youngest of them all. Hazrat Zubayr ibn Awam radhiallahu anhu was he who they migrated as an entire family, along with his mother too radhiallahu anha. Hazrat Zubayr ibn Awam radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, he migrated. Now the importance on the significance of migration is very difficult for us to truly comprehend today. Why? Because it's very easy for us to migrate. Honestly, in this day and age, how difficult is it for us to migrate? It's not hard at all. Why is it, okay, we're going to miss some of our family members. But remember, okay, we're going to miss some of our family members. But tell me, in that day and age, when they would leave their family members, would they even know whether their family members are alive or dead? How is it that news would disseminate, spread from one person to another? How is it that they would send messages? It would be a messenger. He would go from one place to another. It would take months, which means just to receive a letter would take months. And then for that person, when they send a letter for them to get a reply, it would take even longer. This was the state of those messages in that day and age. Where a person, it could be dead. Today, somebody's passed away. What happens in this day and age? Somebody's passed away. Okay, they know in another country, they could get here within a few hours. They could get here for the funeral prayer. But in them days, is somebody's passed away, okay, send them a message. They find out months later that on this day, a few months ago now, it's been this person, your father, your mother, possibly Allahu Alam, has passed away. That's one thing. We're speaking about missing our family right now. We can speak to them face to face on mobile phone. We can see them. You know how they change. Every single day, we could speak to them. If there's anything they may need, we could send it to them. We could arrange things for them. If we're lacking money, we've run out of money, we've been robbed, anything. You know, we could somehow easily, not very difficult at all, to get in contact with them. And then they could send us money straight away within, just like that, a few moments. So migration, my dear viewers, and subhanAllah, we are running out of time. But migration is not, this is just one thing I was speaking about, leaving the family, that's one thing, isn't it? But there's much more to it. Relocating to a foreign land is huge. This is not a small thing. And yes, as I said, for us it's easy. Why? Because we've already applied, we've already booked our hotels and everything. You know, we've applied for a job in that place or whatever it may be. We know where we're going to live. We have things like Google Earth where we can take a look. Okay, then this is the distance, walking distance from this place to another. Okay, this is where the doctors will be. This is where the school is. Subhanallah. So now I'm thinking of migrating. Somebody will say to me, ask me, oh, okay, but what about your school? You know, where will your child go to school? What about the doctors? Everything we know. No problem. All it is just moving there. And even that's by plane where we could get there in a day. What is migration? Migration in this day and age is nothing. And this is why we do not understand that when these companions migrated, it was not a small thing. Allahu Akbar. This is how huge migration was. Hazrat Zubayr ibn Awwam radhiyallahu anhu, he migrated twice. My dear viewers, we need to also make sacrifices for our deen, for our religion too. We need to go out and teach people. We need to go out and invite people towards a religion. And that's how we became, our forefathers accepted Islam too, by others coming and inviting us towards the religion of Islam. Sadly, we have run out of time. Inshallah, we shall have much more rise and shine. Inshallah, my dear viewers, that's all for today. Please do continue to recite salawat upon Rasulullah. Sallu alal habib. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.